What's your name, and why did your parents pick it? What went into your decision-making process when you picked the names for your children? Did you go for something classic or trendy? We are going to talk about the most popular baby names in America, according to the annual list just released by the Social Security Administration, and we'll welcome your baby naming questions and stories. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8.5 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, May 12th. If you or your child is a Noah or an Emma, you have the most popular names on the lists. What is your name? What is your child's name? Why did you pick it? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Laura Wattenberg. She's the author of The Baby Name Wizard, a magical method for finding the perfect name for your baby. It's now in its third edition. She has been following trends in baby names for more than 10 years. She also runs the website babynamewizard.com. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So good to talk to you again. It looks like Noah is number one for boys yet again.
Noah is in its second year as number one for boys, and Emma has returned to the top spot for girls for the first time since 2008. So that gives us a pair of very smooth four-letter names at the top of the charts.
Well, any idea of why Emma fell from grace for a while and then went back to the top?
The funny thing is that Emma really didn't fall. It's that other girls' names popped up above and then have fallen back to earth, whereas Emma seems to have some staying power because it appeals to traditionalists as an old-fashioned name, but it also appeals to the current sense of style, which is, as I said, very smooth, very simple.
Mm-hmm. And is there something magical about that four-letter name?
The four-letter smooth names are what I call raindrop names. It's a very hot category. You see Liam and Mia also near the tops of the charts for boys and girls. In general, this year, we've seen a total falling of hard consonant sounds. Even the letter J, which from John and Joseph to Jennifer and Jessica was always a dominant letter, is plummeting today. Parents like those very liquid sounds.
Really? So the J in joy, well, joy itself has been plummeting for a while. I know that.
You're due for a comeback.
You think so?
I do think so. I think that we've been going through a lot of the virtues and graces, and joy is one that's really due for a rise.
All right, I'm for that. Noah, that's a classic biblical name, isn't it?
Noah is absolutely a biblical name, but it's not one that used to be common. When you think about it, John and Mary are the ultimate biblical names in English. We're seeing parents looking for more of a statement of style, even if they're choosing names from a very traditional source.
One J name that came that is still on the boys' list is James. Actually, James replaced Jaden. What does that say?
It's an interesting changing of the guard. Jaden was part of a whole group of names I called the Age of Aiden. Jaden, Braden, Caden, Zayden all rose together. I think what James is what's driving James back up the charts is that parents no longer feel like they have to call the boy Jim. We don't like nicknames today. Parents like control over their son's name.
Really? That's interesting. Well, why do you suppose that is?
I think we're trying to avoid the ordinary. If you think of the classic all-American boy names, Bob and Tom and Jim and Mike, back 50 years ago, those would have been top 100 names on their own as given names. But parents today either want something that sounds creative or elegant or makes an impact, and those names just sound too normal.
You know what I always wondered is, my husband is a Robert, and he now, as an adult, is Rob. And my brother-in-law is a Robert, and he is a Bob. How did Bob come out of Robert? Do you have any idea?
Well, you have to look back in time to an earlier age in England when John and Mary alone used to account for a quarter of all babies born. So in a given village, those common names had to be distinguished from one another. So Mary would become Molly and then Polly, and Robert would become Rob and then Bob and Robin and Dobbin, even.
Interesting. I get it. So, because to differentiate from Dad, you know, if they named, you know, someone Robert, that one would become Bob rather than Robert.
Exactly. Yeah. Or Bob down at the Smithy versus Robert across the Ford.
Yeah, interesting. Another new addition to the top 10 list for girls. This is interesting. Charlotte.
Yes, it was a big week for the name Charlotte.
Right.
First, we had the royal baby, Charlotte Elizabeth Diana, and then Charlotte made its first ever appearance in the top 10 for girls. It's part of a big group of double T names. So if you like a more aggressive style, you have Scarlett, or on the boys' side, Emmett and Wyatt.
Interesting. So the royal baby Charlotte Elizabeth Diana was not named Charlotte because it's a name rising in popularity in the U.S.
No, that was a pretty elegant solution to a bunch of family problems on their part. So Charlotte honors the dad's father, mom's mother, and then the other parts of the name make sure that we honor all parts of that difficult family.
Interesting. So with the most popular names, any other interesting trends or names to note?
We're seeing some traditional names that weren't common in the past generations rising fast, names that might have seemed a little bit fussy to our parents or grandparents. So Oliver and Sebastian are two of the fastest rising names for boys.
Really?
We're also seeing, as usual, a lot of reality TV stars. Believe it or not, the biggest style maker of the year was the show Teen Mom, when the unwed pregnant teenagers name their babies. Those names skyrocket.
Well, interesting. Well, that's been going on for some time, where some parents will pick a popular television character to name their baby.
Absolutely. We find names wherever we can. But in past generations, it would have really been an homage. So Shirley Temple and Judy Garland back in the day inspired many more baby names than today's stars. Today, it's more a matter of finding new ideas on a style basis.
Well, I think my producer of this program, Kayla Blado, has a very pretty first name. And I asked, where did Kayla come from? K-A-Y-L-A. Any idea, Laura?
You know, names like Kayla seem to occur to parents across the country simultaneously. And you can usually track it back that perhaps there was a particular soap opera character who gave parents the idea. But then you see that
Bingo.
Kaylin, yes, I think Kayla was a soap opera name.
Yes.
But Kayla, Kaylin, and Michaela all rose. So there's obviously something more than just the character. That was the sound that sounded best to parents.
Yeah. Where did Laura come from?
Now, my name, Laura, is actually a statistically unique name because it had a big heyday in the Victorian era and then again in the 1960s. I honestly don't know. That's one of my mystery names, my own.
Really? But was it a family name, or did your mom say, I picked this because?
In my case, it was not a family name. It was a matter of style. My sister got all of the family names, and then by the time they got to me, they felt like they had free choice.
That's funny. I think I already told you the story that I have two older sisters. I have a lot of older brothers, too. But when the girls came along, my mom went Janine, Judy, Joy. She was on the J kick. Parents do that, too.
Oh, absolutely. It makes for a natural matching set, even though each name also stands alone.
Right, right. Well, we are talking about baby names, the most popular baby names in America for 2014, released by the Social Security Administration recently. And we are wondering if you have a question about a baby name, or if you have a story that you'd like to share about your baby's name or your name, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Well, Julie on Facebook says, we chose Asher because it means filled with happiness. And after 5 years of struggling with infertility, we are truly filled with happiness. Well, that's a nice story. And yeah, so you can look at the actual meaning or origin of the name too in picking, Laura.
Yes, parents do like to look at the origin as a kind of story to be able to tell your child, just as in this case, it's a lovely story to be able to say how you chose their name. So one funny phenomenon is I've seen that even parents who made up a name and just made it up from the letters will write to me asking what it means. Even if you invent your own name, you want those roots as a story for your child.
Very nice. Well, we'll get to a lot of other names and your questions coming up after we check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking with Laura Wattenberg, author of The Baby Name Wizard, a magical method for finding the perfect name for your baby, now in its third edition. Maybe you are expecting and you're trying to come up with a name. Maybe Laura can give you some help. We'll check news and then we'll be back. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking about baby names this hour. The Social Security Administration has released the official names, the list of the most popular baby names in America for 2014, and the names topping the list, Noah for boys, Emma for girls. We are talking with a naming expert, a baby naming wizard, about the current trends in baby names and welcoming your questions for her and welcoming the names that you picked. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Well, you know, we didn't actually talk about all of the names on at least the top 10 list. We've talked about some of them, but just for full information here, for boys, the top 10 names: Noah, Liam, Mason, Jacob, William, Ethan, Michael, Alexander, James, and Daniel. The top 10 list for girls: Emma, Olivia, Sophia, Isabella, Ava, Mia, Emily, Abigail, Madison, Charlotte. So, what about you? Well, let's go to the phones. Our lines are full. Jim in Milwaukee. Hi, Jim. Jim, are you there? Well, I'm sorry we lost you, Jim. Jim couldn't decide on a name for his child until after his son was born, and he ended up naming his son Hank Aaron after the famous baseball player. So, there you go. The field of sports is another place to get some names, Laura.
Yes, we do see that, but that's actually a classic homage name of a sort that we haven't seen much in this generation. I think it makes sense that people look to the past, that it used to be that, for instance, every time a new president was elected, a generation of boys would get that name. Today, we're a little bit more wary or cynical, and we wait until that president is out of office or even dead before we commit the name. So Hank Aaron is a very safe choice. No scandals there.
Yeah, there we go. I like names that are sort of short and maybe kind of abrupt. Hank, Sam, that kind of name. That's not the raindrop name, is it?
It is not. It's not the style of the moment, but that means that those names actually stand out a little bit more. Because the funny thing is, when you name based on style and what sounds are fashionable, you all end up sounding a lot more alike, whereas the classic names of the past had very different sounds to them.
Mm-hmm. I named my cat Ray. People go through this when naming their pets sometimes, too, don't they?
A lot of times you see that pet names are sort of a wish fulfillment, that people wish they could name their children some favorite name, perhaps from their favorite video game or their favorite soap opera, but they can't quite pull the trigger, and so the pets are a safe outlet for
that's
that.
That's funny. I actually picked Ray because my cat is polydactyl, and it has like big boxing mitts. It's got an extra toe, and so I was thinking of Sugar Ray the boxer, and then I also thought he was a ray of sunshine, so I thought, and I like one-syllable names, especially for a cat.
We have a little bit of luck that way with pets. We have more of a sense of what they're going to look like, whereas we name our babies before we ever meet them.
That's true. That's right. Well, here we got Kelly in Jefferson. Hi, Kelly.
Hi. I was wondering how popular my name was.
Kelly. I don't see it on the top 10 list, but do you know offhand, Laura, where that stands?
You know, I'd have to look it up, but I'm afraid that Kelly has been declining in recent years. Not that people don't like the name, but just that we're afraid of the familiar. There's kind of an arms race to be more and more unusual in your name choices and to have your child stick out. But the good news is that is a name that is extremely well-liked and perceived as nice and friendly.
And I bet you are, Kelly. And join the club. My name's been declining, too. well, you know, and I know I know men named Kelly. Talk some about that.
Kelly started out as a common Irish surname, then it became a first name for men, and then it switched to the girl's side. That used to be a very common path. There are names like Leslie and Courtney that used to be, again, surnames, then male names, then female names. But that path is changing. Today, we'll adopt a new name like Addison, say, or Emerson for boys and girls alike at the same time.
Yeah. Let's go to, boy, I'm not sure I'm going to be able to pronounce our next caller's name correctly. Devana in Milwaukee?
Hi, yes, that was the appropriate pronunciation.
Okay.
Good job.
And it's Devona.
Yes, exactly.
And where does that come from?
I really don't know. Well, the rumor has it that my grandfather thought I was going to be a boy, and so my parents were looking at Devon, and I wasn't a boy. So tacked on an A. I did find a definition once many, many years ago online. I have not been able to find it since, so it could be my imagination. But it also said goddess of cows. So I choose to believe that one.
Hey, well, that's a good Wisconsin name.
Yes, exactly.
Well, a couple of different things there. I'm not sure you, off the top of your head, will know the origin or meaning of Devana, Laura.
I don't think Devana is a traditional name from any culture, but it does pop up. And in fact, today it's becoming a little bit of a fantasy name that you see it in video games for warrior princesses. So clearly it has some strength that way.
And putting an A at the end of a name to make it feminine?
We used to do that all the time, if you think of Paula and Carla and Martina. Today, parents don't think they have to do that, and they'll just take the male name and use it for a girl, thinking that perhaps that androgyny might give that girl an advantage. Perhaps her resume won't be discriminated against.
Yeah, good thought. Is Charlotte the royal baby or the princess's name? That is the feminine of Charles?
It is one of the feminines of Charles. That's such an old name that's taken so many forms that there is also Carla and Caroline are all go back to the same name.
And do you think she'll be nicknamed Charlie? No. I would like it. I wouldn't mind.
You know, in England right now, Lottie is actually a hit name.
Lottie.
My guess is she'll be called by her full name,
right.
But that might be the choice over there.
Maureen on Facebook says, my parents chose Maureen because they couldn't agree on Jennifer or Lauren back in 1977. So, yeah, sometimes parents negotiate and come up with a combo, I guess, huh?
In fact, a negotiation is a healthy thing. It's a lot better than one parent forcing through a name that the other parent can't stand. You don't ever want to start off on that footing, looking at your baby, calling her by her name, and just feeling angry.
Matt in Elk Mound is with us now. Hi, Matt.
Hi. I have a niece that's named Liesl from, like, The Sound of Music, and my brother said he would name his firstborn son Gustav after my great-grandpa, and so they did that. I couldn't believe it. They named him Gus. And then my other brother had a son that was born premature. They named him Champ. Oh. I thought that was a joke, too, but, yeah, he's 2 years old now. His name's Champ. So
I like
my wife
it.
And I just had a baby a month ago, and we couldn't decide what to name her. People, aunts would give us lists of old family names. My dad joked to say she name her Elvira, you know, and all these other just weird names. And I was like, My wife likes the name Heidi a lot, but then my brother unfortunately got a divorce from his wife who's named Heidi. I thought that would have been a little distasteful, so we went with Haley. And so that's kind of what we ended up naming her. She's a month old yesterday. And then my question was, Laura, was I'm kind of interested in, like, African-American names, like how they come up with them, like LeBron and Tavares and Trayvon and DeAndre, you know, like all those kind of cool names. And my grandma's name Lucretia, and she wasn't African-American, but I'm just kind of wondering how they come up with those names. So, okay, that's it.
Well, thank you, Matt, and congratulations on Haley. I think that's a beautiful name for your daughter. Well, I guess he ended with African-American names.
Question about African-American names. Yeah, in fact, until the Black Power movement in the 1960s, white and black Americans really chose from the same pool of names. But we started to see both naming in the African-American community as a source of pride, choosing names that reminded of African traditions, and also as kind of a creative art form, almost like a jazz or hip-hop, that there's an idea that you make up a name that's a special, unique gift for your child.
Yeah, that's nice. And, boy, there is a lot that goes into picking a name. You might, you know, maybe love the name Heidi, as Matt's wife did, but then there's, you know, it would bring up a, you know, negative feelings because of you know, some relationship that's soured. So yeah, I guess that was trying to be delicate about things.
Every name is a balancing act, and that's something to remember. Actually, when you meet a child, and you might think, "Oh my gosh, why did they choose that name?" Every parent takes this decision seriously. Nobody just pulls a name out of a hat. It's special to them in some way, and we should all try to respect that.
Yeah, if someone wants to know if Barack is a name that is gaining in popularity since our president is named that.
You know, we don't do that anymore. It's not nothing against Barack Obama, but when he was elected, despite a huge outpouring of positive feelings, neither Barack nor Obama rose significantly, whereas back generations ago, even names like Coolidge and Harding would rise. We just don't name after politicians or military leaders. We don't name after heroes.
You know, you mentioned that Oliver and Sebastian are among the fastest growing names. Those are boys' names. Are there fastest growing girls' names?
There are. To go with Oliver, Olivia is still rising fast. In fact, in a recent year, those were the two top names in England, so you can tell that's a hot sound. But in terms of celebrity-inspired names, the most babies this year were affected by Elsa, the Snow Queen of Frozen.
Oh.
She's part of a long line of attractive blonde characters with magical powers who spawn huge baby name trends, like Samantha of Bewitched.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, sure. Elsa. That why didn't I think of that? Let's go to another caller, Lindsay in Madison. Hi, Lindsay.
Hi. Yeah, I was calling about I have two children, but my older son, 2 years ago, my husband is a big Grateful Dead fan, and so we decided to name my son August after August West, which is a character of the Grateful Dead song. And we looked it up, and it was the most popular name in, like, the 1890s, and we thought we were pretty safe on having that original name. And he is one of four in his playgroup now. And so I've just noticed a big uprising in some very old names that were old, strong, masculine names.
That's interesting. I think you're picking an unusual name that will stand out, and then there's three other in the playgroup. That's funny. What about the resurgence in old names?
We look to the past if we want to be traditional, but we also want to stand out. So as you can see in that case, these parents liked that it was a traditional name that you could feel the history of, but yet also that it felt fresh because whoever knew an August growing up. But it turns out that whatever appeals to us also appeals to our friends and neighbors. So the good news is everyone where you live will like that name.
Are there any other names, you know, that were maybe popular a generation or more ago that are beginning to reappear, or is that not the case?
Yeah, we're starting to see the names of the 1920s and 30s start to make a comeback. We had a lot of Victorian names, but the Graces and Lilies. But now we're starting to see Ruby and Vivian, a slightly later generation of names coming back to the pool.
Ruby. I love it. We are talking about trends in baby names and the most popular baby names with Laura Wattenberg, author of The Baby Name Wizard. Talking about baby names because the Social Security Administration has released its annual list of the most popular names, baby names in America for 2014. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Let us know the story behind your name or why you picked the name you picked for your child. Laura in Milwaukee is with us. Hi, Laura.
Hi, I was born in 1959, and mid-50s, I believe. My mother, there was a movie, and a theme song. The movie was called Laura, and the theme song was called Laura. My mother loved the movie and the theme song. And that is what I was named after.
And it's spelled the same way as your name, Laura. Were you I shouldn't ask, but were you born in the 1950s?
I was actually born, I'll just come out and say 1969. So I was toward the end of the Laura wave. But that movie and theme song were actually a great pair because the theme song is one of the few cases it was released after the movie. They came up with it after the fact. And so it sort of extended the life of the movie and the character and perhaps affected how both of us were named.
Albert on Facebook says, we named our oldest Anna. And he gave me a pronouncer, after her great-grandmother. We named our second child Bailey, after the character on the show WKRP in Cincinnati. I love it. Because we liked the name. Aw, that's sweet. I might have said Anna, because that's how it's spelled. That I guess that's a consideration in naming, whether people are going to mispronounce that name all the time.
It's surprisingly hard to find a name that everyone will spell and pronounce correctly. Even a traditional name like Helena can also be Helena or right. Helena. So sometimes you just have to accept that you're going to be making a lot of gentle corrections.
Right. Michael in East Troy is with us. Hello, Michael.
Hello. Good morning, Joy. Good morning, Laura. Thank you for having me on your show.
By the way, you have the seventh most popular baby name in America.
I know. I heard that. And I love it. And we named our son Carson, and we spelled it a little different, spelled C-A-R-S-E-N instead of O-N.
And why did you do that?
Just to be a little bit more unique. And we also have adopted two dogs in the past, and the one we adopted was named Charlotte, which we renamed Starlet.
Very good.
She has a little white star on her forehead.
And then
we had a dog named Allie, which we renamed Callie. So a little bit of uniqueness there all around.
Yeah, that's and parents want to be unique, Laura.
We do. And so you see a lot of personalization like that, that you choose a name that you know might be popular and fashionable, but you want to give it a unique twist. And so parents will come up with a slightly different spelling. So as a result, you remember when we were growing up, you could get souvenir license plates for your bicycle with names printed on the back.
Right.
And they basically don't make those anymore because names have become so diverse with so many different spellings that everyone has to custom order unique products for their kids.
That's funny. I just saw a Facebook post the other day that was some sort of apology to children that could never find their name in a souvenir store, like on a trinket of some sort. And I suppose you're right. It's too hard to come up with the
names.
We
have a whole generation of those kids now who need the custom-made materials. I've seen street vendors selling bracelets where you string together beads to make the name. And I think that kind of one-by-one work is the future.
We are talking with Laura Wattenberg, author of The Baby Name Wizard, a magical method for finding the perfect name for your baby, now in its third edition. She has been following trends in baby names for more than 10 years, and she also runs the website babynamewizard.com, and there's a post on that on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. So what is your name? Do you like it? Where did you get your name? Why did you name your children what you did? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We'll check news and then we'll be back. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking about the most popular baby names in America, according to the annual list just released by the Social Security Administration. And we are talking about baby naming trends. And we're welcoming your questions and your stories. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is Laura Wattenberg, author of the book and the website, The Baby Name Wizard. And our next caller is Phil in Wausau. Hi, Phil.
Hey, how are you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
My wife is actually pregnant right now with our first baby.
Oh,
and boys' names, we've been talking about Tristan, like Tristan in his oldest story. I've loved that story since I was a kid, and she wants to use it for a boy's name. And I guess my concern would be bullying, since that really is, to me, it's a unique name. I never knew anybody like that growing up. And my question was, is that becoming more prevalent? Is everybody being more unique now? Is bullying kind of an issue or a concern that gets raised?
Good question, Phil. Laura, what do you know about Tristan?
Well, the good news is that Tristan ranks about number 100 among all boys' names in America today. It's no longer the unconventional choice it used to be. And the other good news about it is that it follows the pattern that most names Harry today. That two-syllable name ending in N is where we like boys to be. And beyond that, today's kids don't have the same expectations we grew up with. They don't have the same sense of this name is normal and that name isn't. My guess is that your son should do just fine.
Thank you, Phil, very much for the call. That's great. And congratulations. John emails, my sister's name, Linda, took a huge jump in the 1930s, became number one around 1950, and has dropped to 509 by 2008. Was there a celebrity named Linda? What happened to the name Linda?
There was the celebrity Linda Darnell, but sometimes we don't remember so much what the celebrity names of the past. Their names like Willard, for instance, came from a boxer named Jess Willard, and the name takes on a life of its own beyond the celebrity. But Linda was, in fact, the first name ever to bump off Mary as number one for girls in America.
And we talked about some of the fastest-growing names, the most popular names. You say now that there are more names coming out, like regarding science fiction and video games?
Yes, believe it or not, as parents are feeling a little bit more free to express themselves, I'm seeing a big run-up of video game names. There have been some hits like Raiden and Jax, but even names of villains with names like Alucard, which is Dracula backwards, or Sephiroth. That parents are digging in deep and choosing some names that we might think have some pretty dark associations.
Well, so they're unafraid.
They're absolutely unafraid. And the thing is, often villains get the coolest names. That Darth Vader is a little bit cooler than Han Solo, name-wise.
Yeah. Let's go to David in Madison. Hi, David.
Hi. Joy, good morning.
Good morning.
I just wanted to share my son's names because I went with the trend of trying to find unique names. My oldest son's name is Willem, W-I-L-L-E-M. I named him after Willem de Kooning, the abstract expressionist artist. And my younger son's name is Holden, who is named after Mr. Holden Caulfield.
Cool. Any comment, Laura?
Those are some great cultural hero names. So, yeah, so Willem is, I believe, the Dutch form. And there's also the actor Willem, whose name is suddenly...
Willem Dafoe, of all things,
Thank
a Wisconsin
you,
native.
Mm-hmm. And, in fact, Liam, which is currently number two in America, is also a form of William. So every form of that name seems attractive to us today.
An interesting story that is, I think, well-known in these parts is the actor Willem Dafoe. His name growing up in Appleton, Wisconsin, was Billy Dafoe. So he changed it to be more Hollywood. Let's go to
and
Rachel.
And today, no matter where he was, he wouldn't go by Billy anymore.
That's right. Rachel in Oconomowoc. Hi, Rachel.
Hi. Thanks for having me on. I just wanted to share my son's name. We kind of chose a unique name for him as well. His name is Japheth. Traditionally, I think it's pronounced Japheth, but I like Japheth a little better.
And you know, your line is a little fuzzy, Rachel. Japheth is the name.
Oh, E-T-H.
H, okay, all right.
Yeah, Japheth. That's how we pronounce it. Instead of Japheth, we pronounce it Japheth. And I was just curious if you had ever heard names like that before.
Yeah, Laura, have you heard that before?
Yes, if I'm hearing that correctly, that's actually a biblical name, but a lesser used one. The Bible is full of great name ideas for boys. You can dig in deep and find a name that does have that heritage, but also sounds interesting and unfamiliar. For girls, you're a little bit out of luck. There just aren't as many girls to choose from in the Bible.
Nelson on Facebook suggests, call the name from the back porch 10 times before you name your child. I guess to see how it sounds as you're yelling at your child. I don't know. What advice do you have for parents who are, you know, negotiating this issue or looking for the perfect name?
Sure. We hear common sense advice like that. Shut the name from the back porch. If you were going to court, would you want your lawyer to have this name? But I think right now, my biggest piece of advice to parents is to relax a little bit and not try so hard. And remember that having a normal name actually never hurt anybody. Popular just means well-liked. So choose the name that you love, regardless of how many other people might have it.
You know, there's one other issue I forgot I wanted to mention, talk to you about, because on your blog you talk about acronames. And I didn't know that Jeb Bush's real name was John Ellis Bush. And the J-E-B, that's where Jeb comes from.
Strangely, that's where most Jebs come from. And thanks to the TV show The Simpsons, people think it's from a biblical name called Jebediah, but there is no such name. The Simpsons just made that up for their city founder, Jebediah Springfield.
Funny. All right, well, what's in our final minute here, what do you see as some of the trends of the next, say, 5 years?
I think we're starting to see the demise of a new generation of names that still sound very young to us. The Taylors and Caitlins and Tylers are starting to give way to a generation of smoother sounding names. But 10, 20 years from now, that's going to flip back on its head. I just recently heard some middle school girls saying that they thought Bernadette was the prettiest name. So in about 15 more years, that's where we'll be heading.
And when will Joy make its comeback?
Oh, I'd say I'm waiting for it any day now.
I am too. Thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Laura Wattenberg, author of The Baby Name Wizard, a magical method for finding the perfect name for your baby, now in its third edition. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Coming up, we will talk about a hearing today near Wausau that could shape how fast the state tackles the phosphorus problem that fouls many Wisconsin waterways. Governor Walker wants to continue with a slowdown he started a few years ago because he's saying reducing phosphorus pollution is very expensive. But some scientists are urging action. Chuck Quernbach has this closer look.
Phosphorus runoff from farm fields and discharges from sewage treatment plants and industrial sites contribute to spring and summer algae growth in many waterways. Two summers ago, the DNR's Dan Helsel talked of the pea soup scum in some large water bodies along the Wisconsin River.
Once those algaes get to a certain density, they can actually release toxins or be hazardous to human health. But it also degrades fisheries because of low dissolved oxygen in some of the reservoirs.
But recently, the DNR and State Department of Administration released estimates that industries and municipalities statewide would have to spend $7 billion over the next two decades to meet phosphorus limits passed in 2010 before Governor Walker took office. The numbers come as state agencies work towards implementing a bill Walker signed last year. That measure allows cities and companies facing higher compliance costs to apply for a variance that would give the point source polluters more time to comply with the state phosphorus limits. In Milwaukee last week, the governor insisted he wants clean water, but
there's got to be a balance. We've heard for years from local governments that felt like the previous rules put in place were next to impossible for them to comply with. We're trying to do it in a reasonable way.
Environmental groups say the state isn't looking at the other side of the ledger, that water is turning a soupy green hurts tourism, fishing, and other things that boost Wisconsin's economy. Chris Kucharik is an agronomy professor in the Nelson Institute for Environmental Studies at UW-Madison. Kucharik says any slowdown in phosphorus reduction puts the state behind where it should be.
We really need to start making some headway on these problems. They're not going to go away. And I think if we would have known what we know today 50 years ago, we would have been able to get on a better path.
But the state argues that the proposal going to public hearing in Rothschild this afternoon would also make municipalities and industries pay $50 per pound of phosphorus released, with the money going to reduce phosphorus runoff from non-point sources like farm fields, natural areas, and other locations. Laura Good of the UW-Madison Soil Science Department says a recent study in Dane, Greene, and Iowa counties in the Pecatonica River watershed showed farmers can make significant reductions in phosphorus runoff.
Much of what they did was find ways to reduce erosion or the phosphorus that was available to runoff. They found ways to manage their fields that kept the phosphorus and sediment in the field.
A combination of federal, state, local, and private agencies helped fund the Pecatonica project. Elsewhere in Wisconsin and the Midwest, some farmers are getting help to try what's called a two-stage ditch. Water swishes through a farm ditch in Indiana that's been altered to add a little ledge to catch more runoff. Farmer Mike Long says controlling phosphorus pollution is part of a slowly changing environmental ethic.
The slow adoption is Grandpa did it that way, Dad did it that way, I'm going to do it that way. It's worked for everybody, but I believe there's a lot better way to do it.
If the Wisconsin DNR goes ahead with the idea of giving companies and cities more time to meet phosphorus standards, but meantime pay for more farmland projects, the U.S. EPA would still have to okay the idea. Chuck Quernbach, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up tomorrow at this time, we will talk about foster parenting and the need for foster parents across Wisconsin. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.